morning, everybody. Thank you for coming today. We'll go ahead and call the meeting to order. This is the Community Corrections Partnership meeting today. It's Wednesday, June 11th, 2025, and it is 8:30 a.m. I'll start with roll call, and I'll turn it over to Ms. Vaughn.
Chief Dickinson.
Here.
Court Executive Officer Yu.
Here.
District Attorney Zimmer.
Ken Russell for Cynthia Zimmer.
Public Defender Kane.
Here.
Sheriff Youngblood.
Joel Swanson here for Sheriff Youngblood.
Director Burrows.
Here.
Chief Terry.
Here.
Administrator Olvera.
Here.
Director Moyo.
Here.
Executive Director Corson.
Here.
Supervisor Perez. Chief Workforce Development Officer Evans.
Here.
Superintendent Mendebu Kumru. And Victim Services Coordinator Peace.
Here.
All right, great, we have a quorum. Before we get into the agenda, I just want to make a little housekeeping announcement. You guys probably noticed doing some construction or reconstruction based on some plumbing issues that way, and which includes the bathrooms here. So if anyone needs to use the restroom, you'll go out the door, you'll hook a left, and we have staff at this locked door, and then they'll give you a key to the women's or the men's restroom in the center lobby here, and then let you back through. So just a little different setup than normal because of some work we had to do, and I'll spare you the details. All right, with that, we'll go into the consent agenda. All items listed with a CA are considered to be routine and non-controversial by staff and will be approved by one motion. If no member of the board or public wishes to comment or ask questions, if comment or discussion is desired by anyone, the item will be removed from the consent agenda and will be considered in the listed sequence with an opportunity for any member of the public to address the board concerning the item before action is taken. Staff recommendations are shown in caps after each item. And for the sake of this agenda, that would be items CA1 and CA5. So with that, I'll ask if there's any public comment on any matter on consent. Okay, seeing none, take a motion.
Corson will make a motion.
Second.
Corson, Murillo. And all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Any abstentions? Right, motion carries. Item number two, public presentation. The public is provided the opportunity to comment on agenda items at the time those agenda items are discussed by the CCP. This portion of the meeting is reserved for persons to address the CCP on any matter not on this agenda, but under the jurisdiction of the CCP. CCP members may respond briefly to statements made or questions posed. They may ask questions for clarification, and through the CCP, make a referral to staff for factual information or request staff to report back at a later meeting. Speakers are limited to 2 minutes. Please state and spell your name for the record. Are there any members of the public that would like to present on anything that's not on the agenda? Right, seeing none, moves us to item number three, chairperson's report. Just a couple things to note from me. The governor's May revised budget projects growth to be less than anticipated in January. January's budget, it's a decrease from a little over $3.6 million to a little over $1 million. So as the budget at the state level gets worked out and receipts come in, stay tuned and we'll have more information at the next meeting of where that number lands. And then also, I just want to announce that the September meeting will consider any carry forward proposals for any base amounts left over. And those are the only things I have to report on. So it takes us to item number four for any CCP committee member announcements or reports. This is a chance for anyone on the committee to report on their own department's activities. All right, hearing none, takes us to item number six, the community-based organization annual report from January 1, 2024 to December 31, 2024. And we have a presentation by Lieutenant Jaime Hernandez.
Hi, good morning, I'm Lieutenant Jaime Hernandez with the Kern County Sheriff's Office. Today I'll be going over the AB 109 summary report on community-based organizations from last year, 2024. also known as, I'll be discussing as CBOs. AB1 land funds provided housing and supportive services by referring participants to CBOs contracted by Kern County. Programs and services were provided to individuals in Kern County who had been released from our local jails and were under the supervision of our probation department and Kern County Sheriff's Office, or connected services with the Kern Behavioral Health and Recovery Services Department. Referrals were made with the goal of reducing criminal recidivism and assisting the AB19 population in successful reentry into the community. The Community Correction Partnership, CCP, had contracts with 11 CBOs during the calendar year, including 9 personal professional service agreements. Services are from the Bakersfield Recovery Services, Cottage of Hope and Gratitude of Sober Living, Freedom House Recovery Homes, Many Marbles Sober Living for Women and Children, New Life Recovery and Training Center, the Brown Family Home, Third Tradition Sober Living. Supportive services included from Garden Pathways, One Door Recovery, Special Treatment Education and Prevention Services, and WestCare. This was a 3-year contract that began in January 1st of 2023 and are set to conclude at the end of December 31st of this year. A total of $2.8 million was paid in claim reimbursements to the CBOs for services provided. There were 1,295 participants enrolled in the CBO programs. Participants were referred from staff from our probation department and Kern County Sheriff's Office. Housing services from Sober Living Environments, SLEs, provided 929 participants with housing sober for our SLEs, which that was a total of 57,401 bed days saved in our local jails. This participants were provided with 180 days of housing at the contracted SLEs. In addition to housing, a variety of supportive services were made available to SLE participants, included anger management, clothing assistance, work attire referrals, employment services, family reunification, life skills, parenting and neglect classes, substance abuse classes, and vocational training. Drug testing was conducted at all SLEs. There were 6,893 drug tests administered, which of those 15% tested positive. There were also 6,045 breathalyzer tests performed, which 2% of those reported testing positive. I do want to mention that those numbers are relatively low. As part of the process, CBOs were asked to identify the greatest contributing factor for program failure among participants. The responses varied, but several CBOs concurred that addiction and participants' readiness to address addictive behaviors significantly impacted their success. Supportive services, these are the ones that are non-residential. There was 366 participants that participated in this area. 70% of the participants have either successfully completed the program or are remaining actively engaged by the end of the year. CBO providers are proud of the program's achievements and our commitments to further strengthening them within the AB19 population. The Sheriff's Office and its partner agencies would like to thank all CBOs for their service to the communities in Kern County, as this is a big project for all of us involved. Any questions?
Any questions from the committee?
I have one. With regard to drug testing, just curiosity about the percentages testing positive. Do you know what it was in
2023? 2023, they were around similar from last year, or a little bit lower? They were very close.
Other questions?
Thank you all.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I echo your thanks that you gave to the CBOs as well. Is there any public comment on this item? Okay, hearing none, that's a receive and file. So it takes us to item number 7, Behavioral Health and Recovery Services, through the County Administrative Office funding request for 8109 carry forward reserves. I believe we have a presentation from Senior Analyst Amanda Reese.
I'll be starting.
Joe, okay.
Yes. Good morning, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. I'm Joe Areola. I am the Criminal Justice Analyst for the Kern County Administrative Office. I am joined by my colleague, Ms. Amanda Reese, who will be getting into more details of the program, but I'll be starting us off with just a brief overview and some financial information. On February 11th, 2025, the Kern County Board of Supervisors approved the establishment of the Medical and Behavioral Health Section within the Sheriff's Detentions Bureau. This program, staffed and supported by BHRS, expands and improves mental health assessments and care, and partners with agencies and stakeholders for diversion and pre-release coordination of care. As of June 2025, the Community Corrections Fund has an available balance of $11.9 million. It is anticipated that the cost of this program will be eligible for opioid funding and Medi-Cal reimbursement on an ongoing basis. However, to establish the program, the County Administrative Office requests, on behalf of BHRS, to appropriate $1,577,477 from AB-109 carry-forward reserves to complete the necessary hiring of behavioral health personnel. My colleague, Ms. Amanda Reese, will provide additional details on the program.
Welcome, Ms. Reese.
Good morning. Good morning, Chairman Dickinson and members of the CCP committee. As Mr. Ariola mentioned, I'm here today to request your approval to utilize approximately $1.6 million from AB-109 carry-forward reserve funds to support this new medical and behavioral health unit. This unit was designed to provide those in custody with dedicated behavioral health services, specifically to those with most acute medical and behavioral health needs. The total cost for the 18 required behavioral health staff is approximately $3.9 million, with opioid settlement funds covering $2.3 million of that total cost. This request is intended to be a one-time request to support the launch of this unit by filling the staffing gaps. Moving forward, it is our intention, as Mr. Ariola mentioned, that services will be covered under the DHCS Justice Involved Reentry Initiative once fully implemented. This request aims to improve safety within the facility for staff and the individuals housed there and provide for earlier interventions when needed. For the opioid settlement fund portion, reporting is required to the state on an annual basis. The CEO, Behavioral Health, and the Sheriff's Office have already met to discuss potential reporting measurements, and we are happy to provide those results back to this body as well once the unit is in operation. That concludes my initial remarks, and I'm available for any questions.
Thank you. Any questions from the committee for Ms. Reese or Mr. Ariola? Is there any public comment on this matter? So we have a request for AB-109 carry forward reserves for the initial behavioral health staffing cost at the Laredo facility in the amount of $1,577,477 is the request. So we can have discussion or I can entertain a motion to refer this to the executive committee.
I have a question.
Chief Terry.
Just to confirm, is 18 new staff members that are going to be part of this new unit?
The 18 staff, there are some, current vacancies we were able to utilize. So I believe we added 13 staff in our initial request for behavioral home.
Does this have anything to do with Prop 36 and the implementation of it or anything like that? All right, thank you.
Yeah.
How much do we have in reserve?
Mr. Ariola reported $11.9 million. Yeah. And this would be, as reported, one time pass, not for ongoing costs.
I'll make a motion.
Okay. Ariola with the motion. Do we have a second?
Second.
Second from Chief Perry. We have a motion and a second to refer to the executive committee this request for AB 109 carry forward reserves in the amount of $1,577,477. You already asked for public comment, so we'll take it to a roll call vote.
Chief Dickinson?
Yes.
Court Executive Officer?
Epstein.
District Attorney Zimmer?
Yes.
Public Defender King?
Yes.
Sheriff Youngblood?
Yes.
Director Burrows?
Yes.
Chief Terry?
Yes.
Administrator Olivera?
Yes.
Director Murillo?
Yes.
Executive Director Corson?
Yes.
Supervisor Perez? Chief Workforce Development Officer Evans?
Yes.
Superintendent Mendevaro? And Victim Services Coordinator?
Yes.
Okay, motion carries. Takes us to item number 8, Veteran Service Request for AB 109 Base Funds. We have a presentation from Veteran Services Officer Jose Lopez requesting $55,000 in AB 109 base funds for ongoing additional CCP qualified staffing costs. Morning.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the board, members of the committee. For those of you that were here in October's meeting, I believe it was October when my business manager Heather spoke on the efforts of Ms. Alyssa Bowe, our dedicated CCP rep. You are familiar with the hard work that she does and all the efforts that she puts in towards the CCP community. And as a result of her hard work, she is our training supervisor as well. She has now trained our new staff, specifically 2 new employees, to also be qualified in dealing with CCP clientele. So that includes not only Justice Involved veterans, but those that are currently incarcerated, whether in our local jails or at the state prisons, as well as our family members. The unique thing about the Veterans Service Department is, unlike the VA, is that we provide holistic services, benefits advocacy for all members of the household. So we're assisting the children of those veterans who are justice involved, getting into college, enrolling those veterans into health care to stay off of Medi-Cal, helping with referrals to the Employment Development Department or Employers Training Resource. And as a result, these new employees, at least based on our calculations, we're estimating about 30 to 35% of their time is being spent using or assisting CCP clients. So based on that calculation, we're wanting to request a $55,000 increase in our allotment from the base fund to be able to keep up and supplement the time that is being taken to assist the community. The figures that we were previously reporting, we were basing off of, we didn't have a real good tracking method until recently. Now that we have a more accurate means of tracking the numbers, we have seen a significant increase, specifically 345 local veterans and family members, with 157 of those in the 23-24 fiscal year. That number may seem low. We assist about 1,600 clients on average throughout the year. We are a department of 12, so that includes me, 6 accredited reps, and 2 supervising staff. So the numbers that we see on a monthly basis is probably something the Department of Human Services sees in one day, but for such a small team, it's a significant amount. So $55,000, while only a percentage of a fraction of a percentage in the budget, is significant to us. With that, I'm happy to take any questions.
I would just have a couple things on the request. The request is for base funds. How this committee has set up the allocation of base funds is based on a percentage allocation to the entities listed in the plan. So to deviate from that would mean that another entity that receives base funds would have to either agree to relinquish, or this committee, I guess, could choose to change the percentage. And I don't know that would be the case here. I understand everything you're saying. I think each of the entities that get an allocation of the base funds probably could also argue that it doesn't sufficiently cover the work done for this population. As with most state realigned projects, we get all the responsibility and not near enough of the fiscal support to take on the responsibilities that used to be out of the state. So as it's requested, at least, and I know in looking back, last year there was a similar request, but it was for carry forward reserves for ongoing funding, some equipment, I believe some staffing from you, that was approved by this board. And so this is different because you're asking for a base. And so I don't know that I would support that as requested, because that would mean we'd have to change the formula, or a party, like I said, on the committee that receives those funds would have to agree to it.
I also would agree with you, to be honest with you. I wasn't aware of how that allocation is counted, and I would not want to take from another department. So I'd be happy to work with Ms. Vaughn. We've been working together quite a bit to make this request, so I'd be happy to work on that and adjust it as needed, so that we don't have to do that.
The other question I have is, you know, I know it's a, in the grand scheme of things with the amount, it's relatively small, and just even the prior item, this was a greater amount, but it was, prior was clearly articulated that it was one time.
Correct.
And this, is there any indication that this wouldn't be an annual request for staffing? Is there any other identified sources of revenue that would cover this in the future, so that it wouldn't be a continual request of whatever pot of money for the CCP has under its authority?
Right, as of right now, I have not identified any additional resources or any other revenues that might be available. But that's why this was initially done as a permanent request, not something that I would request every year. It's specific to the salaries of employees. So it's not something that I, with the current climate, with federal and local cuts happening, I'm well aware.
Any other questions or comments from the committee?
I would be willing to entertain the switching that to carry forward reserves, realizing still that's just a one time, but if that's something that we would be able to implement, switching the funding source and recognizing that again it's just one time, that's an option or something we can consider.
Okay. Any other comments or questions from the?
Not receiving a base, I understand that, you know, not giving up your base. I mean, that was decided. I do think it's a small pot of money to do a lot of good work. So whether it's the carry forward, or at least in our brains, knowing moving forward if there's additional money or some way that we can make them whole, because $55,000 for the is a big bang. We get a big bang for a small amount of money. But I understand people with base right now, it's locked in your budgets, and it is what it is.
Any other comments? So if I'm hearing right, I maybe heard a motion from Ms. Burroughs to recommend to the executive committee AB 109 carry forward reserve funds for CCP qualified staffing costs for veteran services in an amount of $55,000.
Correct.
Is that correct? So do you have any other comment? We do have that motion.
So Chief, if I may?
Yes.
So the motion is related to just one-time funds and then figure out another source then?
Yeah, because anything from carry forward would always be a one-time request.
Right.
And similar to like last year's request. And so in future years, This wouldn't, the motion on the table, and as I understand it, is for carry forward reserve amount. And so anytime anyone asks for any additional carry forward reserve amount, it'd have to come back before this board. And this motion does not change base allocation percentages that's already established.
Right, right.
Does anyone understand that differently?
Yeah, I have a question. What happens if you don't get the funding this year?
There's always the threat or the potential of having to make cuts. Obviously, that's something that nobody wants to do, especially in a department as small as ours. Given the hard work of our staff, we would always try to find a way, but that's why this is specific to supplement that those salaries, not anything detrimental at the moment going forward, because we see the trend in the data trackers that these numbers are only increasing. We expect to continue to not only serve the number of veterans that we're currently serving, but more as well.
So is this, would this funding be to supplement what is going on right now, or is this is what you're requesting funding for, what you anticipate to need that support later?
Right now, I only find it feasible to base it off of the number that we currently are seeing, which is about 30% of the employees' time being allocated specifically to CCP-related topics. Yeah, going forward, that number could very well increase, but I can't foresee accurately what that might be, so I'd rather not even speak on guesswork.
This would carry you 12 months?
Yes, if I could have my business manager join me.
Sure.
You could speak a little more accurately on it.
Absolutely.
I'm just curious on the time frame of what this would do.
So this year, just to meet
would subject. Would you do me a favor, just for the record?
Heather Pierce, business manager for Veterans Service Department.
Good morning.
This year, just to meet our budget guideline, we had to eliminate two positions, and one just recently became vacant because she quit, and so if and now we're not able to fill it. So if, and that was an OST front office position, but with losing those two positions, one of them was a veteran services rep, which was already vacant, and one that became vacant, now we're having to reshuffle, have other people answer the phones. I have to come in early to do my work, and then I have to help with the front office. So it is actually right now this year affecting our workforce. So thank you.
Thank you. Some questions, comments? We have the motion. Any additional questions or comments? Or we have a second.
Second.
We have a motion from Ms. Burroughs and a second from Chief Terry to fund Veteran Services in the amount of $55,000 from carry forward reserves. With that, I'll open it to any public comment on this item. All right, hearing none. That takes us to a roll call vote.
Chief Dickinson.
Yes.
Court Executive Officer Liu.
Abstain.
District Attorney Zimmer.
Yes.
Public Defender Payne.
Yes.
Sheriff Youngblood.
Yes.
Director Burroughs.
Yes.
Chief Terry.
Yes.
Administrator Rivera.
Yes.
Director Murillo.
Yes.
Executive Director Corson.
Yes.
Supervisor Perez. Chief Workforce Development Officer Evans.
Yes.
Superintendent Mendivaru. And Victim Services Coordinator Pinkston.
Yes.
All right, motion carries. That takes us to item number 9. County of Kern Public Safety Act Implementation Plan and Allocations for Fiscal Year 25-26. And this one is the allocation plan of the base amount based on the percentages, and we'll have a series of presentations. We'll start with Lieutenant Jaime Hernandez from the Sheriff's Office.
Hi, I'm Lieutenant Jaime Hernandez with the Kern County Sheriff's Office. This is a request for fiscal year, next year, 25-26, on the base funding using the established percentage allocation in the amount of $25,151,512 to maintain current staffing and service levels. Do you guys have any questions for me?
Questions for the panelists? Hearing none.
Thank you.
Thanks, sir. Next up from probation, we have Division Director Brian Gaona.
Good morning, everyone. Brian Gaona, EB 109, Kern County Probation Department. Proposed probation plan for fiscal year 2025, probation 26. Probation proposes keeping its existing 35.56% of the base allocation. This equates to a total of $22,775,344. This funding allocation will continue AB 109 operations and activities for the probation department. There are no significant changes to the proposed probation plan for fiscal year 25-26, except for these two deputy probation officers and one officer's office services technician will be deleted, and we will add two probation technicians and one senior deputy probation officer.
Thank you. Any questions? Hearing none, thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Next up, Behavioral Health and Recovery Services, Director Burroughs.
So for Behavioral Health and Recovery Services, we're maintaining the same allocation in the amount of $8,684,861. We are maintaining the same categories of services and treatments. The only shift for us is there has been an increase in some of the salary costs for in-custody services, so we've shifted some of the funding for next fiscal year to offset some of that in-custody, but still maintaining our outpatient services as well. So same amount, same categories, just a slight shift in the funding.
Any questions for Ms. Burroughs? Hearing none, takes us to the District Attorney's Office. Mr. Russell.
This is a request from the Kern County District Attorney's Office for allocation funding for the next fiscal year to maintain current staffing and service levels. We're asking for 4.28%, $2,741,239.
Any questions from Mr. Russell? Hearing none. We've already heard from the CBO program, and as you know from previous meetings, the new RFP is out as we speak. Next up, Public Defender's Office. Turn over to Mr. King.
We're requesting a percentage consistent with prior years. The amount is $1,370,620. The funding is critical for the county's ability to maintain its constitutional mandate. And for perspective, each attorney at the Kern County Public Defender's Office carries a caseload that's significantly above the American Bar Association guidelines. The Legislative Analyst Office consistently ranks the attorneys at the Public Defender's Office among the top three busiest in the state year after year. This money is not just important, but it's a lifeline to maintain services. Thank you.
Any questions for Mr. King? All right. Next up takes us to the Employers Training Resource. Mr. Evans, that be you or Mr. Shoemaker? Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman of the Committee. Jeremy Schmidt, Assistant Director of the Georgia Resource. We're asking for our usual 1.3% of the base allocation budget, which is the amount of $883,850 to continue service population. We've had great results this year. We've had a few less referrals. We still plan to meet our goals. We have some little improvements, including having bilingual staff answer the phones, encouraging clients to submit their letters of employment, to allow staff to provide essential support services and tools for work-related system to become job ready. We develop a seamless transition from work experience to on-the-job trainings that allow to take additional time to learn the skills needed to succeed at their job. So far this year, we've had 123 enrollments through June 1st. Our goal is 125 for the year. We have 17 participants who received work experience, 4 have received on-the-job training contracts, and 44 have been employed at exit in unsubsidized wages and benefits. We're continuing to strengthen our relationship with probation by working with their liaison and other partner agencies to perform assessments to determine the timing, level, and type of interventions used by the individual referred to us to use the various to employment. The budget includes amount for salaries and wages for existing staff and additional staff increases are included in the request. The bulk of our funding for PBIX comes from our contingency request we've done this past winter, and we just concluded an RFP to have an employee record for additional worksite services and industries that allow to have a better service for this population. Any questions? Thank you very much.
Any questions for Mr. Shoemaker? All right. Hearing none, Takes us to H, Street Interdiction Team, and I believe we have Captain Dampierre from Ridgecrest PD.
Yes, good morning, Committee. Good morning. The Street Interdiction Team, current to date this fiscal year, has had 16 operations spanning close to 30 days, and we have an additional one this year. We've had over 1,000 planned targets, resulting in arrests in about 20% of those. We are requesting our base allocation amount of $435,524 to meet the similar goals next fiscal year. Open for any questions.
Any questions?
Thank you.
Thank you. All right, takes us to Veteran Services. I'll bring up Veteran Service Officer Mr. Lopez again.
Kern County Veteran Service Department requests continued efforts related to serving AB 109, having a fiscal impact of $172,929, consistent with previous requests.
Okay. Any questions for Mr. Lopez? Hearing none, and then the remainder based on the 0.13% will go to contingency. So, having heard all the presentations, I will entertain a motion to make allocation recommendations to the executive committee to approve the plan and submit to the Board of Supervisors for approval in the amount of $64,047,649. $64,000 wasn't required this morning.
I'll make the motion.
So we have a motion.
Second. Portion.
We have a second. Is there any public comment on any of the individual presentations or the plan as a whole? Hearing none, we've got a motion and a second, and we'll go to roll call vote on this.
Chief Dickinson.
Yes.
Court Executive Officer Liu.
Abstain.
District Attorney Zimmer.
Yes.
Public Defender King.
Yes.
Sheriff Youngblood.
Yes.
Director Burroughs.
Yes.
Chief Carey.
Yes.
Administrator Olvera.
Yes.
Director Manillo.
Yes.
Executive Director Corson.
Yes.
Supervisor Perez. Chief Workforce Development Officer Evans.
Yes.
Superintendent Mendenburo. Victim Services Coordinator Pinkston.
Yes.
All right, motion carries. Item number 10, our next meeting will be September 10th at 8:30 a.m. in these offices with fully functional restrooms. With that, we'll adjourn at 9:08 a.m. and in a couple minutes we'll reconvene as executive. Thank you. We're ready to convene as executive committee, and it's Wednesday, June 11th, 2025. It is 9:11 a.m. and I'll have a roll call and turn over to Becky.
All right. Chief Dickinson.
Here.
Court Executive Officer Beal.
Here.
District Attorney Zimmer.
Ken Russell for District Attorney Zimmer.
Public Defender King.
Here.
Sheriff Youngblood.
Joel Swanson for Sheriff Youngblood.
Director Burroughs.
Here.
And Chief Taylor.
Yes, I'm here.
Either works. Thank you.
We have a quorum. We don't have consent items on this agenda, so we'll go to item number one, the minutes from Executive Committee of April 30, 2025. Entertain a motion to approve.
I'll make a motion.
Motion from Burroughs, second.
Second.
Second motion, Mr. Russell. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed, nay. Any abstentions? All right, motion carries. Public presentations for any items not on this agenda, but under the purview of the CCP, is there any public presentations today? Seeing none, move on to item number three, Executive Committee Member Announcements and Reports. Open it up to the group. Hearing none, takes us to item number four, and this is a Behavioral Health and Recovery Services through the County Administrative Office funding request for AB 109 carry forward reserves in the amount of $1,577,477, and we'll consider a recommendation that was made by the full CCP to approve and authorize the chair to submit to the Board of Supervisors for approval. Any discussion on this item? No additional discussion. Is there a motion?
Motion.
Motion. Second.
I'm sorry, who is the motion?
Chief Cherry.
Here.
Second.
I'll second.
Second, Ms. Burroughs. Any public comment on this item? Hearing none, do a roll call vote.
Chief Dickinson?
Yes.
Court Executive Officer Liu?
Abstain.
District Attorney Zimmer?
Yes.
Public Defender King?
Yes.
Sheriff Youngblood?
Yes.
Director Burrows?
Yes.
Chief Terry?
Yes.
All right, motion carries. Takes us to item number five, Veteran Service Request for AB 109 Carry Forward Reserve Funds. We'll consider a recommendation by the full CCP to approve and authorize Chair to submit to the Board of Supervisors for approval in the amount of $55,000. Any additional discussion on this item? Is there a motion?
I'll make the motion.
Motion from Ms. Burrows? Second?
Second.
Second from Chief Terry. Any public comment on this item? Hearing none, we'll go to roll call vote.
Chief Dickinson?
Yes.
Court Executive Officer Liu?
Abstain.
District Attorney Zimmer?
Yes.
Public Defender King?
Yes.
Sheriff Youngblood?
Yes.
Director Burrows?
Yes.
And Chief Terry?
Yes.
All right, motion carries. Takes us to item number six, County of Kern Public Safety Act Implementation Plan and Allocations for Fiscal Year 25-26. And we'll be considering the recommendation by the full CCP to approve the fiscal year 25-26 implementation plan in the amount of $47,649. That amount just doesn't register to me at all. Any discussion on this? All right, is there a motion?
I'll make a motion.
Motion, Director Burrows. Second?
Second.
Second, Chief Terry. Any public comment on this item? All right, take a roll call vote.
Chief Dickinson?
Yes.
Court Executive Officer Liu?
Abstain.
District Attorney Zimmer?
Yes.
Public Defender King?
Yes.
Sheriff Youngblood?
Yes.
Director Burrows?
Yes.
And Chief Terry?
Yes.
Motion carries in the amount listed on the paper, not that came out of my mouth. So it takes us to number seven. We'll meet again September 10th, immediately following the full CCP. And we will adjourn at 9:16 a.m. Thank you, everyone, for coming. Appreciate it.